Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. It's an honor to be here. I think it's my first time here in this building. I first came to the North Park Theater in 1977. I moved to California from Ohio, and God led me to Calvary Chapel, San Diego. I have fond memories of the time here, and I attended School of E in 78 to 79. And Neil was director then. And I came to the School of E because God called me to go to China when I was 16. And I came to California, and I said, thinking that God would send me to China from California. And, you know, Neil taught us all about missions when we were in the School of E. And I, over the years, the last 45 years, I've cherished his teaching in my heart. I've read all of his books, and it's just so amazing what God has done. This building wasn't built when I left for Asia in 1979. I think I've been here a couple of times on visits back, but it was called the Family Center then. As you just heard, I'm here with my beautiful wife, Kitty. We have four kids, and last week, we became grandparents for the first time, so that's exciting. Today, I want to share with you from the book of Philippians, chapter 3. As I was praying about what to share on this trip, the Lord led me to the book of Philippians, and in chapter 3, God gives us three attitudes to keep us on track. And if you're like me, you often find yourself getting off track, getting distracted. And sometimes it's little silly things. You know, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they want us to focus on things that are not important. But, you know, this world is dying and going to destruction. And we get distracted. We lose sight of what God wants to do in us and through us. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 10, it says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sufferings, being conformed to his death." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you give us this opportunity to gather this morning in freedom, in peace. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just anoint your word, and that you would speak to us and minister to us today by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Oops, sorry, I got off into Chinese. Okay, so I usually preach in Chinese, so if I do that again, just let me know. Here it says, "I count all things lost to gain Jesus." I think we all know this passage very well. And Paul was talking about his previous accomplishments and before he became a believer. You know, I think we all should have the same attitude. It's not about our pre-Christ days. But at the same time, for those of us who are getting more experience in the Lord, sometimes it's also about our post-Christ days. You know, what is past. Yesterday is gone. You can't get it back. We cannot live in the past. All you can do is live for today and prepare for tomorrow. And it's better that we count the past as rubbish. that you may gain Christ. I've been in Asia for 45 years, and over the years I've seen God do many things. But we need to be careful not to dwell on what was in the past. I think there's somebody running for president who talks about that. Not get sidetracked. What God did for many years ago, we need to keep focused and looking ahead on what God wants to do today. You know, sometimes when we think of the past, we start dwelling on, oh, what the good old days were like, you know. And we forget God hasn't changed. God is the same God today that he was yesterday. And he wants to do the same thing today that he did 10 years ago. He wants to do great things in you and through you today, just like he used to. You know, when I first went to Macau, I think the most difficult thing that was for me to adjust to was the spiritual state of things. I left San Diego when it was the height of the revival. And I went to Singapore. And in Singapore, it was exciting. It was a revival, just like here in San Diego. And people were getting saved left and right. And it was amazing. And while I was in Singapore, I had trouble with a visa, so I had to go in and out of Singapore a couple of times. And I went to Thailand. And at that time, in 1979, two major events happened in the world. One is Vietnam invaded Cambodia. And the other is that Iran had a revolution. And the Ayatollah came into power. And because Vietnam invaded Cambodia, it gave the Cambodians an opportunity to flee the Khmer Rouge. And they all came into Thailand. So I was in Thailand for 2 months in a refugee camp on the border of Thailand, a Khao Idang refugee camp. And I was working with the United Nations and in charge of primary food distribution. And we had a bunch of Cambodian refugees who were translators for us. And we worked with them for 2 months, and it was an amazing time. I left the Cambodian refugee camp on Christmas Eve and went back to Bangkok, and on Christmas Day took a train back to Singapore. Well, 2.5 months later, Neil's in Singapore, and I'm getting ready to leave, and he takes me back to Thailand, and he's going with me to Hong Kong. And while we're in Thailand, we go back to this refugee camp. Two months I was gone, a revival broke out. Now, this camp was the second largest city in Thailand at that time. The day I went there, it was a rice paddy. And so many refugees came in, it was the second largest city next to Bangkok in Thailand. And a revival broke out. All of my translators had become pastors. They all had turned their grass huts into little churches. And Neil and I went around. They took us to all these different huts, and said, this is a church, this is a church, this is a church, this is a church. And at night, the Thai soldiers would go in and try and arrest all the pastors and persecute them. So the new believers became the pastors. Revival. It was amazing. I left that revival, came to Macau. And Macau is, even today, considered a spiritual desert, a hard rock, a place where the gospel never takes root. When I arrived in Macau, there were 25 churches, maybe 2,500 to 3,000 believers in 25 churches, and a population of 500,000 people. There was 0.5% of the place was Christian. Today, we have 700,000 people, 70 Chinese churches, and 4,000 believers in 70 churches. In 45 years, there's only been 1,000 more believers than there were. and yet the population has grown by 200,000 people. Macau is a hard place to serve the Lord. Now in China, from 1978 to the year 2020, revival like crazy. A great revival in China. Maybe one of the biggest revivals that the world has ever known was going on in China. And yet Macau, you don't see much fruit. Church isn't exciting. But you know, God called me to Macau. He didn't call me to be successful. He called me to be faithful. So we need to forget the experience of the past and be faithful to do what God has called us to do today and just trust the Lord that even though it's not faithful, our hope is not in the fruit. Our hope is in Jesus. How do you stay on track? Count it, all the things that you've done in the past as nothing. Don't let your past accomplishments hold you back for what God wants you to do today. Are you just looking for revival fruit? Or are you being faithful to press on even in hard times? You know, Paul was faithful to preach in revival and in prison. You know, I don't think Paul saw much fruit when he was in prison for 2 years in Caesarea. He was locked up. And yet he was faithful to walk with the Lord. And our ministry in Macau, we've gone through many different stages and periods. In the beginning, there was the adaptation stage. Learn the language, culture, start to get involved in local church. Then there's the pioneer stage. You know, we did prison ministry, drug rehab. Worked with Pioneer Bible School, Vietnamese refugee camp, street outreaches, and then we started Horizon Christian Fellowship in Macau. And then we got into the transition stage. What is God going to do after we're gone? Raising up the body and preparing them for the future of what God is going to do. I think in my family, in my personal life, I've gone through different stages. I went to Macau as a single missionary. Okay. We're all getting up there. I can't even open a bottle. Okay, yeah, I got it. I went to Macau as a single missionary. Then after 10 years, got married. Then had a newlywed stage. Then we went through, we had 4 kids in 5 years. We had the baby stage. Then the teenager stage, then the kids grew up and went to the university, and then the empty nest stage, and then this last year we had 3 marriages in 14 months, the marriage stage, another one coming up next year, and now grandparent stage. Man, you know, whatever stage you are in your life, in your walk with Christ, don't get caught up in the past. Keep your eyes focused on God. What are you living for? Paul said, live to know the excellency of Christ in all you do and to gain Christ and be found in him, not in your own righteousness. We never stop growing in Christ. Do you know the power of the resurrection in your life? I want to daily know Jesus and to be found in Christ. Each day to wake up and to just live a new day and say, Lord, what do you have for me today? You know, some people live for results and growth. Results and growth are nice, but that should never be our goal. The goal is that we know Jesus. And the only thing worth living for is to know and to be found in Jesus. And the only way to stay on track in life is that you daily live for Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you in each waking moment. Recently, we had an elderly man come to our church, and his name is Wasung. And he, about 35 years, in his early days, he was in and out of prison many times. And he was a heroin addict. About 35 years ago, he got out of prison, went into a drug rehab center. And then he got a job. He got a pretty good job. And he just worked hard at his job, and he got a family, and he had a son. His son ended up becoming a Christian, and he was going to another church. And every now and then, his father would go with his son to this other church. And for some reason, last year, some other ex-heroin addicts brought him to our fellowship. And after he came the first time, he kept coming back. And he comes to every meeting, every service, every men's fellowship. So you guys come to men's fellowship. Yeah. And the Bible study. Am I doing that? Am I doing that pounding? Oh, yeah, sorry. Too close to the mic. So he said to me, he's almost 70 years old. Is his picture up there? Yeah. Okay. We should put his, there's an elderly guy up there. He said to me, he said, every morning I wake up, and the first thing I do is I read my Bible, and I pray, and I just want to fellowship with God. He said, I've spent so much time wasting my time on worldly things. All I want to do now is to learn everything I can about the Bible because I've wasted so many years. I've been a Christian all this time and I've never read the Bible. And now I just want to spend time and learn the Bible and I want to learn Christ. I don't want to waste my time anymore. I said, praise God. That is the attitude to have. Okay, next slide should say, forgetting the things which are behind. And then we go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, if it's on the screen. And it says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Keys to stay on track. Forget the things which are behind. Paul says, this is amazing. He says, I do not count myself to have apprehended. This is Paul speaking. Do you know who Paul is? He was the greatest missionary that ever lived. He brought the gospel to the whole world. He spoke Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. He could sit down with Greek philosophers and debate Plato. He could talk with Jewish rabbis and discuss the law. And he could talk with Roman politicians about Rome. Wow, I keep doing that. I gotta get further away from this thing. And he says that not only that, he built the church. He was an evangelist. He wrote half of the New Testament or more. He was a disciple maker. He was a pastor. After bringing the gospel, think of this, to Syria, Lebanon, Turkey, Greece, and then Rome, what does he say? I don't count myself to have apprehended. he's done all this and he hasn't... That's something to think about. Let's not move on from that point. I have not apprehended. I think that's the attitude God wants us all to have. It's not about what you've done in the past. It's about what God is doing in you today. How do you stay on track? You forget what's in the past. You don't count your past achievements as anything except the grace of God working in you and working through you. Some people think, wow, you've been a missionary for 45 years. Ooh. No. It's no great thing. I don't count myself to have apprehended anything. It's the grace of God. We stand here because of the grace of God. And Paul says, forgetting the things which were behind. There are many things we have to forget. Maybe things you wish you could forget. Mistakes. Failures. Sometimes the past experiences hold us back. And they keep us from moving on forward in Christ. Don't let your past hold you back. Your past accomplishments, your past failures. As missionaries, we have both. We have good times, we have bad times. I've made my share of mistakes. I'm sure you all have made yours. There have been times when I've messed up. And I thought, man, I'm not worthy to be a missionary. I shouldn't be on the mission field. I can't be here. You know, but God always comes and encourages me. And he says, it's not about you. It's not about us. It's God's in you. Sometimes I mess up because of cultural things. Even after 45 years, although I speak Chinese, some people say fluently, Cantonese and Mandarin, I'm still an American. I'm still a white dude that doesn't know anything. And I think like an American. And even though I might be saying the right words in Chinese, maybe it's the tone of voice. Maybe it's the way I say it. Maybe I'm saying the right words, but I'm communicating in the wrong way. Have you ever done that? And I end up thinking I'm saying something to be nice to somebody, and they get mad at me. Have you ever had that happen? Man. What do you do when you mess up? What do you do when you fail? You ask God to forgive you, and you get up, and you keep moving on. You forget the past. Don't let it hold you back. We need to learn from our mistakes. We need to grow from our mistakes. We need to ask God to change us so we don't make the mistakes again. But you don't beat yourself up over the mistakes. When you dwell on the past, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to get prideful or you're going to get defeated. Prideful because you think I've done a great job. Look at me. Woo! Or defeated because you think, man, I failed. God doesn't want us to be prideful or defeated. God wants us to put our hope in him and our faith in him and our trust in him and to see what God wants to do through us in the future. When Paul said, forget the things which are behind you, I think this applies to marriages. Sometimes we need to forgive the faults of others so we can move on. We have a few married couples in our church that were not believers when they got married. And then maybe the wife gets married and becomes a Christian. I don't know if I've got a picture here. One such lady, her name is Samantha. She became a believer because she was suffering anxiety and depression. And most of it was because of her husband. Her husband is a dealer in the casino. You know, Macau is a casino town, so we got lots of casinos. And almost every night after work, he'd get off work and he'd go out drinking with his buddies. He'd come home maybe 2, 3 in the morning. Sometimes he'd get so drunk you'd fall asleep on the side of the street and not come home. And their marriage was on the rocks, moving towards divorce. She had to take care of the two kids all by herself. She came to Christ. God started changing her.
Hallelujah.
God transformed her. And after she became a Christian, she started sharing the gospel with her husband. And at first, he had no interest in the gospel. After 1 or 2 years, finally, God started working his heart. One day, he came into my office and he said, "Pastor, I need help. I don't know how to be a father. I don't know how to be a good husband. I need to change." And right there, he asked Jesus into his heart, and God transformed him. And then he said, "I've been drinking since I was a teenager. My life, I live for alcohol. I love drinking." He'd actually buy expensive alcohol, but he was into wine and whiskey and all that sort of stuff. And he just loved to drink. He said, "All my friends, all my buddies, we go out to eat. If I don't drink, what can I do?" I said, "We can pray." And we prayed. And he said, "How do I get out of this trap?" And he says, "Pray, ask Jesus to change you." So a couple weeks later, he comes into the office and he said, "I went out with my buddies last night and they're all drinking. And all I drank was Coke. I drank 5 Cokes." Whoa! "I got so filled up on Coke." I said, "Well, praise God. That's a start, you know." I don't know if you've ever been there. You know, sometimes you can give up the drugs, you can give up the alcohol, but it's those old guys, those friends of yours. That's the downfall, isn't it? Well, praise God, he's been alcohol-free for 3 years. God has changed him. But you know, even when he stopped drinking and he'd go out with his buddies and come home late at night, Samantha might think, "Oh no, he's drinking again." Or maybe he falls into the trap and he has one beer and he comes home and he has alcohol on his breath. "Oh no, he's fallen." You know, when you've been abused, when you've been hurt, when you've been lied to time after time, sometimes it's not easy to forgive. It's not easy to forgive. And you have to ask God, "Lord, change me, that I can forgive him, that I can believe that, God, you're doing a work in his life and in our marriage." You know, he came to us, to Kitty and I, and he said, "Can you do marriage counseling with us? Our marriage needs help." Oh, I'm not used to that, sorry. So, praise God, forget the past. Maybe there's a lot of hurt in the past. But when we trust in Jesus, he makes it so we can press towards the goal for the prize in Christ. And that's the third point to keep on track. Press towards the goal. Let's look at verse 13 and 14. Should be up on the screen. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The third attitude to keep you on track is reaching forward to the prize of Christ Jesus, pressing on in Christ. Listen to what the words Paul used: reaching, pressing. Those words to me indicate effort, diligence, patience. You don't need to press on in God. You just flow with the flow. We're saved by grace, right? But once you're saved by grace, God wants you to be diligent. He wants you to press on. If you have a goal, you need to be working towards that goal. As believers, we need to flow with the Spirit, but we need to press on in persistence. We have a goal in life. We're not just floating around endlessly without purpose. Do you have a goal for your life today? Having a goal is important. Now, for people in China, this is very important. I don't know if it's important to you. I assume it is. We're not just the product of evolution. We're not just in this universe without reason. You know, if you're in China, communist country, evolution, atheist, the universe doesn't have a God. There's no purpose. There's no reason for being here. If you don't have a God, life is meaningless. You know, Chinese are taught that there is no God. Evolution is true. And that means survival of the fittest. Every man out for himself. Their main goal in life is to make money. Get as much out of life as you can. Live it up. Enjoy life. Macau is a gambling city. One of the richest cities in the world today. It's fastly becoming one of the most expensive cities to live in after Japan and Hong Kong. Money means everything to most people. But you know, money doesn't satisfy. We got a lot of gamblers in Macau, and they're all high rollers. And I think most gamblers would agree with this. You win $50,000. Are you satisfied? No. You get $50,000, you want $1,000,000. You get $1,000,000. Are you satisfied? No. You want $10 million. You get $10 million. Are you satisfied? No. You want $100 million. You get $100 million. Are you satisfied? No. I want $1 billion. Money doesn't satisfy. If money is the goal in life, if material things are your goal in life, all you end up with is empty despair. Nothing in this life brings fulfillment. You guys remember Mick Jagger, Rolling Stones? They used to sing, "I can't get no satisfaction." Not through music, popularity, sex, money, fame. It's only through Jesus. When Jesus is in your life, you're fulfilled. When Jesus is in your life, you have purpose. You have a goal. And that means something. We work with compulsive gamblers. Help them to stop gambling, not help them to gamble. And like I said, there are high rollers in Macau. You can gamble $10,000 in one shot. You can lose $50,000 a night. We have gamblers who have $1 million gambling debt, U.S. They have to pay the loan sharks, finance companies. They lose their homes, their family, and many of them end up jumping out windows because they can't pay. We have a motto that we use when we work with gamblers. Goes like this. But lei, but hei, but ze. You all understand that, right? But lei, never leave them. But hei, don't forsake them. But ze, don't lend money to them. You say, what? I'm a gambler. I got debt. I need money. Money doesn't solve the problem. It only makes it worse. Only Jesus can solve the problem. Only Jesus can change the heart. Once the heart is changed and you put your trust in God and you see God working in you and through you, he takes care of the other stuff. What's your goal in life? As Christians, our goal should be Jesus and only Jesus. Everything else is just extra blessing or excess baggage. So the third attitude to have to keep you on track is to press on to the goal. Don't let anything keep you from Jesus. And as missionaries, the goal is not to build a big church or to win China for Christ. Some people think that's the goal of a missionary. The goal should be to be found in Him. Not in our own righteousness, but clothed in His righteousness. And don't let anything distract you from that goal. Everything else is unimportant. My goal was never to build a big church. When God called me to Macau, all I knew is I was called and I wanted to see Chinese come to Jesus. Most of my time in Macau has been working with drug addicts, prison inmates, Vietnamese refugees, contract workers from China. They're in Macau for a while and they go back to China. This is not a target group you work with if you want to build a big church. When we started Horizon Macau, people from Hong Kong would come over as mission teams to help us do evangelism. And they'd say, Pastor, what's the target group that you're trying to reach? You know, they try and put people in different target groups. You know, you're working with students, you're working with elderly, you're working with the down and outers, you're working with the drug addicts. What's your target group? I say, people in Macau? People that live near here? So, no, that doesn't work. Well, everybody needs Jesus. Today, our church, we have government officials, casino dealers, ex-heroin addicts, immigration officers, new immigrants from China, orphans, teachers, students. We got a whole cross-section of people. One thing in common, we're all sinners. We need Jesus. And our goal is to teach the Word of God so that they can be set free and grow in Christ. You know, Horizon Macau started with the vision taken from Horizon San Diego, win, disciple, send. Win the locals for Christ, disciple them in Christ, and send them out as servants of Christ. In addition to that, God gave us a specific vision for our church in Macau, and it's from Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, should be on the screen. Come and let us return to the Lord, for He is torn, but He will heal us. He is stricken, but He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up that we may live in His sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. In Hosea, it says, return to the Lord, because we've been torn, we've been stricken, but He will heal. We're broken. God says, come, you're broken, you're stricken, you're messed up. He's going to heal us. He's going to bind us up. He's going to revive us. And that's our vision for Macau. A lot of broken, messed up lives, broken families, broken people. And when we come to Jesus, He revives us. He raises us up. He heals us. In this verse, it says, His going forth is established as the morning. And in Chinese, that is Yusan Guang. And that's where we take the name for our Chinese church name, Sun Guang. And you can translate it morning light. So we named Horizon Christian Fellowship Morning Light because the morning light arrives on the horizon. It made more sense than calling it the horizon light line. It doesn't make any sense in Chinese. So The Lord still has a work to do in us. He has a work to do in you. He has a work to do in me. Our church in Macau is a small church. We've got maybe 100 adults. But God is doing amazing things in each and every one of their lives. Macau is a difficult place to serve. Cost of living is one of the highest in the world. And now it's almost impossible to get a visa for a church worker to come to Macau and serve. Even Chinese churches that try to get a Chinese helper from Hong Kong, the government will not allow a work permit for Hong Kong people to come and work in the church. The reason is China's in control and they don't want churches. So there are many churches in Macau, the pastors are in their 70s, failing health, and they're looking and saying, I have no one to replace me. In Hong Kong, the last couple of years, there's been a mass exodus from Hong Kong. People leaving because of the protests that were happening before the pandemic, fear of China. Most churches in Hong Kong have lost half of their congregations, and many pastors have left. But God is faithful. To us, I don't know if it's up on the screen, me and these two men. One, the tall one, his name is Tony Hung. He was sentenced to life in prison in Papua New Guinea for something he didn't commit, served 9 years in prison, got saved in prison, came back to Macau, worked with us, and then God called him. He went to Bible school, went to Taiwan. He's been a full-time prison chaplain in Taiwan for the last 20-some years, maybe 30 years. The other man in the photo, Robert, he got saved in prison in Macau, heroin addict. Right out of prison into a drug center, and then he was one of my assistants, and now he's full-time prison ministry chaplain, and he started a church just for prison inmates and people. God's raised him up. Next slide. The two men on the outside, one is my son, Robbie. God has called him, raised him up, anointed him to be a pastor and to take the gospel to the next generation and to be used. God has gifted him in teaching. He's got an MDiv and he's anointed and he's full of joy. And just we're handing the baton over to him. And as I step down, I pray that God would anoint him and use him and he continues to take the gospel. And then I think Alfun is on the other side. He's also been through a seminary and he's called to serve in the church. He's gifted as an evangelist, disciple maker, servant. And it's just exciting that as other churches are saying, we have no one to take over when we move on, and God has raised these guys up. And we can say, praise God. We know that God's doing something else. And then my son Samuel, is he in the next slide? I can't see the slide, so I don't know what's going on. Samuel is our youngest son. He just got married. He's finishing his MDiv in November. And then God's called him to become a seminary professor. So he's going to come here to Dallas Theological Seminary, and he wants to do his PhD in Old Testament theology. And God says, told him that there's a need for seminary professors in Hong Kong, Macau, and China, and he wants to be the next generation teaching the Word of God and helping people continue to grow in Christ. So God has been good to us, and as we hand the church over in the next couple of years to the next generation, as I say, praise God. It's not about me holding on to the church. It's not about what I've done, but it's about what God wants to do in us and through us. And my goal is to keep my eyes focused on Jesus and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You want me to serve one person at a time? You want me to teach to 10? You want me to teach to 100? And just keep our eyes focused on Jesus. I know this story, I'm sure you all know it. It just popped into my head. You know the story of the guy on the beach picking up the starfish and throwing them back into the ocean? I don't know, was it starfish or sand dollars or something? And the whole beach is covered with them, and somebody says, "Why are you doing that?" And he says, well, throws another one back in. He says, "Well, I saved one." That's what God wants us to do. We keep our eyes on Jesus. The world is dying. And yet when you continue to serve the Lord and you save one and then another one, one at a time, and see what God does in their life, you see amazing things. So I guess that's all I have to share with you this morning. I just noticed that clock says 5 o'clock, so I hope I didn't preach until 5 o'clock, or almost 6, so let's end in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity. And I thank you for Horizon, for North Park Christian Fellowship and for Steve and what you're doing here. And Father, we pray that you would continue to anoint this church, that you would continue to use this church, looking in the bulletin and seeing the upcoming events and reaching out to the community. Lord, I pray that you would use this church as a beacon of light to share your word and to bring hope to this community that's in so desperate need of love, so desperate need of Jesus. Lord, you are the answer. You are the hope. You are the goal in life. Let our eyes be focused on you. In Jesus' name, amen.